I'm glad you're with us today. We had a momentous day this last week, and actually we had two momentous days. And one actually was the precursor, truly, to the freedom that we have for the other. If you're a veteran this morning, whether you be whatever rank, whatever branch, male, female, if you're a veteran this morning, would you stand, please, for us? Would you just stand right there? Thank you. All the way in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You betcha. I had the opportunity to speak this week on Veterans Day to a veteran, just an event that was going on. And as I thought about that, as I looked at that, especially in light of all that's going on, I thought about the fact that there are certain things that we say we deserve. Some of us feel like we deserve freedom. We never got freedom today because we deserve it. We got freedom today because people died for it. People served for it. Those who just stood, you represent freedom for me to do the things that we can do today. And those who are serving today as well represent that. So we owe a debt of gratitude to not only those who serve, but the families behind them, many who sacrificed so much. And so today, as we honor our veterans this last week, I pray that it's not something that just takes place every day, but not one day, but every day of our lives. We're talking about giving thanks, a series of giving thanks. They're going to see a number of videos, but this video that you're going to look at in just a moment, you're going to see every week. There's different phrases in it. We're taking some of those out of there. But as you watch this video every week, we want you to recall to give thanks. But each week it also may change, the phrase may change for you as to what you're really giving thanks for this week, this time in your life, where you find yourself. So as we watch this video, concentrate and to read those words and give thanks. Give thanks today. That's what we're to do. We're to give thanks. It says that, we looked at the verse even in Thessalonians, that it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. To give thanks. Today, I want to look at one of those phrases, for God's provision, that we give thanks for God's provision. And some of you may say, well, I don't even see God's provision. We're going to talk about that, but for God's provision, even when we don't acknowledge it, even when we don't acknowledge Him, even when we don't acknowledge the Lord, the God Almighty, that we give thanks, and we should have the perspective of giving thanks. That He says He blesses the just and even the unjust. We don't like that one. Because we consider ourselves pretty just, don't we? And we consider the other guy pretty unjust. But we give thanks for God's provision. I think, I got to tell you from the top, that someday we're going to get to heaven. And we're going to find out a whole lot of secrets about how God provided for us in ways that we never acknowledged or saw. That we never even recognized. That we didn't see the wonder of God on display in the way He provided. But why do we need God's provision? When you think about it, why? Why, when the rubber meets the road, why do we really feel like we need God's provision? The answer is pretty simple, I think. Because we worry. Because we get anxious about things. We start to worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation," by what? What does it say? "By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." But it starts with that. We love them by prayer and petition, give thanks. We want to ask God for things. In our life group this week, the challenge was to pray. And when you pray, ask God for nothing, but give Him thanks for something. It's easy to pray and ask for stuff, isn't it? It's like a kid going to the candy store. "Mommy, can I have that? Poppy, can I have that?" Mommy say no, Poppy say yes. That's what happens. But to be anxious about everything. Think about the fears that we have. What do we worry about in the fears? Even this week, we see political fears. We see economic fears. What's going to happen? Man, I have this coming up. How am I going to pay for that? And I got this, all of our economic fears. We have family fears of, man, my family, and relational fears. What happens if he leaves me? What happens if he does this? What happens if they don't like me? What happens? All these things, all the family fears. We have health fears. We have future fears. All of the things, and in fact, I was thinking about this, and in life groups that you'll see this week, there's going to be a question that talks about the different age groups, the fears that are faced in different age groups. Don't they change? I mean, we who, as Paul says, are a little older and know better, the reality is the things that I will fear or could fear today if I don't trust in the Lord are different than my fears when I was 21 or 22 or when I was 30. The fears change, do they not? The things that we, man, I'm telling you what, the things that I look back and think, I used to worry about that? Man, why? And most of the things that we worry about, you do realize we have absolutely no control over. I mean, it's one thing that if we can say, well, I'm worried about this, but I can do something about it. It's another thing to say, I can't do anything about it. I'm helpless here. But boy, do we fear it. Maybe that's why we fear it. And that's why God gives us the promise of His provision, because we seem to be anxious about everything. Everything. And somebody said, well, I don't worry about everything. But there may be one thing that you just consumed with. You worry about this. You worry about retirement. You worry about the future. You worry about some area in life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, there's a verse. Now, we're going to read a lot out of Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. But listen, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not the life more than good food and the body more than clothes? Now, what I want you to see there is really the word therefore. And those of you who know, when they see the word therefore, you must find out what it's therefore. Therefore, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, same thing, but before there, verse 19. This is what he's saying. Therefore, because of all this, don't worry. He says, therefore, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Some will say rust will destroy. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's talking about, therefore, you don't need to worry about all these things if your perspective is right. If you have a priority of that, I'm not worried about the things of this world. I'm not storing up for things in this world. Listen, I realize even in Christian circles we are told, and God wants us to be wise with our stewardship and wise with our money. But he says, once you're wise with your money, you need to leave it alone and trust in me. It's not going to get you anywhere. In a moment, it can be gone. In a moment, it can be useless. And if that's your trust, he says, hey, you need to be storing up for things of eternal value within that. It makes it such a priority. Man, God knows our insecurities. He says, therefore, don't worry. Listen, I know your life. I know your life. Therefore, don't worry about these things. He says these things that when we look at it, really, we take things into our own hand. He says, our love and use of money reveals a lot about us. It really does. I mean, we can fight that. We can argue that. But your love for money and use of money and all that, it tells a lot about us. What we value, what's important to us. That's why there's so much written in the Word about money, more than any other thing, about the stewardship of our money. Now, some teach prosperity from God without relationship with God. Now, I did not forget A. Some will say without a relationship with God. That's important. God says he's going to supply our needs and those type of things for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no doubt. But there's some who are in Christ Jesus and teachers who will say, well, you know, we trust God for our prosperity, but it's really not important to see the things that God says must come with that. What's our responsibility? Yes, he blesses us for no good reason at all, because we are no good. But at the same time, he does say that there's things that we need to take into our life and to put into our life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Now, this is quite a bit, but I want you to see where this goes. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what your body and what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, for some, that's a key question, because you don't see that your esteem and righteousness is bound in God. It's not in yourself. It's not whatever you can store up. It's not what you have or what you do, your strength, your might, as Jeremiah says. It is in that we find it in him. Can any one of you, by worrying, look at some of you guys, listen, ask this question. You need to tattoo it on. If you like tattoos, tattoo it right there. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The answer would be, nope. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first. Here's the verse, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The issue that he brings to us, man, that's the message in and of itself. We worry about things, and God says, why are you doing that? I will supply. And that is the question. Do you really believe that God does provide? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God supplies my needs, that he sees what I need, that he knows my heart, that he knows his believer as his child, as a good father would care for his children? Does he really provide? And I got to tell you, sometimes I wrestle with that. Because you're saying, God, are you really going to provide this? I have a need in my life right now. And God, I'm going to, you know, do I need to try to manipulate this and form this? Or am I going to wait and see how this is going to be taken care of? But the answer, does God provide based upon his word, is yes, he does provide. It is a promise. There are some conditions to that. But Philippians 4, verses 18 and 19, he says, I have received full payment and more. Now, most of you know verse 19. I want to look at 18 here. I am amply supplied. Paul speaking, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, we love verse 19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. We love that. But guess what? There's a part of that that many people meet. Paul was saying, God just met my needs. How did he say he met him? How did God meet his needs? Through whom? Epaphroditus. Do you catch a little connection there? That sometimes God supplies, and he supplies in ways that we don't understand. Paul is saying, my God shall supply all of your needs, because he just did through the gifts of somebody else. God wants us to meet the needs of others. God wants us to be the visible representation of Jesus Christ. God wants us, he says, I'm going to supply the need, but guess what? It may come from me. I may see a need. It's not a church ministry. John and Denise may have a need. I may know of that need. So what do I do? Do I say, we need to have a board meeting and vote on this? Or do I, as a believer, say, I know the need they have. I'm going to help meet that need. Why? Because they're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's our responsibility within that. So when God said, my God shall supply all of your needs, guess what? He may be through the vehicle of you. And yet what happens is we become so close-minded to seeing the needs of others and expecting somebody else to do it that we never move to meet the need. God does supply, but sometimes it's through us. God has provided his son that we might have eternal life. God's provided, and often it's differently than we expect. Man, sometimes, you know, I want God to answer a need that I have, and I want it right now. And then I think back and look back at my life and say, man, if he'd answered it right then or the way I expected, I'd have been in big trouble. And I would have missed the whole thing of somebody else meeting a need. Man, he's already given us the greatest provision, and that's eternity with him, that we may know him. Matthew, as we said, seek him first. Seek him first. Very simple. Very simple. We have shirts. Some of you wear them today. God leads, we follow. Do we seek him first in everything? It says that's God's will. We seek him first. Do you do that? Do I do that? Above all, we sing the song to know and to seek him, to trust him through all seasons of life. Man, there are seasons of life, are there not? Some, boom, let this season pass. And others say, man, this is God is a bountiful blessing right now. But we are to learn contentment through every season of our life. To learn that contentment. That, man, we don't have to have that. Do I really need that? To learn contentment, what our needs are. The problem is, what we see as a need often doesn't jive with what God sees as the needs of our life. Our needs have grown. Boy, I'll tell you what, the needs that we will say we need right here today will not fly in other countries of this land. In many countries of this land, of the needs that we have. And yet God says he provides. We must trust that God is good in his nature, as we looked at last week, in his very essence, in his desire for us. God is good, and in his timing, he is perfect. Why do we need to learn this? Because we need to learn to demonstrate trust. How do we demonstrate trust? He's very, very clear here. By giving. By serving. We demonstrate our dependence upon him by not worrying about all these things, but investing. As Corinthians says, let each man, believer, determine in his own heart what to give. But the point is that we give. And when we give, when we let loose of our things here, all of a sudden it shows dependence upon him. To be wise stewards, yes, but to give. I think sometimes what we need to do, man, some just can't do it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We just can't do it. Many of us need to flip our budgeting upside down. We need to say, God's going to get the best. He's going to get the first. I'm going to give. I'm going to trust God and demonstrate everything that I have comes from him. I'm going to demonstrate that I believe that. I'm going to demonstrate that I trust in him, and I'm going to invest in his kingdom. I'm seeking first his kingdom, not my bank account, not my 401, not retirement. Aren't you glad that God's promises were well in effect before Social Security ever was invented? But are you really? Do you really trust his promises? That God is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. He wants to provide. But we need to seek his face and seek him first so that we will identify the know that we have the need to know that we need to see his provision, that we can identify his provision, that we can glorify him in his provision, and that God can use us to help others. The issue of giving to get is just, it's a curse. We give so that we can get. Why? So that we can give more, so that we can be the demonstration of God to others and say, I'm going to help meet a need that we may have. I'm going to help meet a need that the church may have. Man, I'm telling you what, it is amazing. As the church, it's a picture of our economy. I understand that. But boy, when things get tough, giving to the church immediately just falls away. We have come through a terrible time. Some of you have risen to the occasion to give because many just said, okay, I'm going to just cut back here because I better put some away for this and have this. And yet we come apart and we say, listen, am I trusting in the Lord Jesus? Am I trusting in him? Some of you don't give at all. And I question that. According to God's word, if you do not give at all, I question, what are you serving? You cannot serve two things. If you don't give to the kingdom of God, don't tell me you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And you're withholding that which he says you need to let loose and you need to consider and you need to give. I am not a percentage guy. I know some are. I am not. I think for some to give 10%, you would still be robbing God. you still wouldn't be showing. God wants us to give out of our sacrifice, not out of the abundance. And we need, if I could challenge you, to look at your economic issues and say, man, I need to get my house in order, but it needs to start by trusting in God, not in that dollar. If you took a dollar out of your pocket today, I meant to put one in mine so I can pull it out, and use this great visual that said, in God we trust. To me, the intent is great, but it's just a tension that doesn't exist, that does exist, I think. Because we look at that dollar, and when we look at that dollar, many people don't see this dollar represents, I'm trusting in God. They look at it and say, I need more of that. Instead of more in God, I trust. Be thankful today for God's provision. But be used to supply the needs that others may have. When you see a need, to be that part of God saying, God, I see a need in that person, and I want to be wise, I want to be a good steward, I want to check it out, I want to do due diligence, but is there some way that your Spirit of God is telling me I need to help meet that need? That is part of God meeting the needs of others right there. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory. Let's pray.